You got your babies, I've got my hearses. Every set of blessing comes with its own set of curses. Happy Mother's Day, have a good day. Just kidding. But here's the reality. Every blessing can be a curse depending on how you look at it. I'll give you a couple examples. You wake up in the morning, you can say, yes, another day that God has given me to serve Him. Or you can say, okay, I don't want to get up. It's just another day that I have to, you know, go to work. You could say, yes, I live in a country where I can study, where I can go to school, and I don't have to work when, you know, I turn 13. Or you could say, I hate school. I hate study. I wore this vest today not just because it is the most awesomest vest ever. Because years ago when the boys were little and Karis was little, Cindy made matching vests for the boys and I and matching dresses for her and Karis. And, you know, she could have looked at that and said, why did I do this again? Or she could have looked at it and said, what a blessing, I have children. And I have a chance to make them happy for a day.
Praise God.
Please bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much for this day. Lord, we are truly blessed. And Lord, we today, as we honor mothers, we know that this is your plan. That you created us, male and female. And that you made women uniquely qualified to nurture. Lord, we know sometimes they don't do it well. We know that sometimes somewhere there's a disconnect. But overall, Lord, we just are overwhelmed by the glory of your plan. And we thank you. We thank you for the mothers in our lives. We thank you for women that have stepped up and been mothers to others. We thank you for the whole plan of motherhood. And may the things of motherhood be seen as a blessing and not a curse. Please be with me this morning, Lord, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to be looking through the life of Mary. And we're going to be looking at seven blessings that I believe are in the life of Mary and all mothers. So first, we're going to look at Luke 1, 26 through 38. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she was called barren and is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, Behold, the bondslave of this Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So blessing number one is the blessing of discovery. Now, that can be a curse, right? It all depends on how you look at it. There are plenty who look at their situation and they are just filled with terror. Let's consider Mary for a moment. Most likely she was about 16. She's engaged. That was the average age of engagement at this time. It seems criminal to us today. So most likely she's about 16. She's engaged. And an angel of the Lord says, hey, favored one of God. She's like, oh, what's this about? You're going to have a child. And she's like, oh, okay, I don't know much, but I know what that takes. And that hasn't happened yet. There's no way I'm having a child. Her situation was not great for having a child. You see, the Jewish people could count months just like we can. She was also not wealthy. They were poor. We know this because when they offer a sacrifice, they offer a poor man's sacrifice. They live in a nowhere place. They're poor, and they're not even married yet, and she's a virgin. She could have looked at all of that and said, no, it's too much. But once God explained to her what was going to happen, she said, let it be done. You see, I think she eventually understood this is a blessing. And I think as most mothers, when they first discover, and isn't it ironic that a lot of times their situation's not the best? Right? We first found out that Cindy was pregnant with Corey when she had just quit her job and I didn't have one. And we're already made commitments to move to Washington State without a job. Couldn't go back on that. The timing was really not that great. We could have panicked. We could have said, oh no, what are we going to do? But I remember when Cindy came and she gave me this cup. I go, right, a new coffee cup. What's this? And it says, new daddy. And she didn't sit there and go, here. There was joy in her face. When we found out, when Caleb was coming, we were living with my parents. In between preaching jobs, I was working at a woodworking place making minimum wage in Washington State. At the time, that was $6.25 an hour. It was not the best of timing. And it isn't funny how God does that often, doesn't he? Now, I had a pretty solid job when we discovered that we were that Karis was coming. But I was making well below poverty, according to this country's standards. It wasn't the best of timing. But not once did Cindy say, oh no, it happened again. Every time it was a blessing, the blessing of discovery. And I think this is a blessing that keeps on going. Now, I'm not talking about you keep on discovering, oh, there comes another one. I'm talking about you get to look back at those moments, and those are precious memories if you look at them as a blessing. You can look back at that and hold on to that. Have you ever noticed when a bunch of women get together, a bunch of mothers, that they start talking about being pregnant? You know, then the rest of, you know, the other half of us are like, okay, well, how about those Steelers this year, huh? Because, you know, it's not something I can relate to. Never happened with me. But it is a blessing. Verse 39 through 55. Now, at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of the Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reaches my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of that of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Number two is the blessing of joy. If you read this passage, notice how many times it talks about being blessed and joy and exalting the Lord. Now I know, it's not always that way, I understand. But I think this is the blessing of hopes and expectations. Notice Mary's hopes. Notice her expectations. Now that's a little bit different than us because she was told what was going to happen. Now, most of us don't get that information, but we still have those moments of hope and expectation as soon as we find out. And I think it's especially true of the mother, right? There's a life. What is that life going to mean? What are the dreams? What are the hopes? This is our friend's little guy. Joshua, thank you. Good friends of ours. He's adopted. Because I want you to understand that this hope, this blessing of joy, can come from this adoption too. There's a lot of fear involved if you've ever gone through the process. There were times when they thought they were going to get a child and then all of a sudden it all fell through. And it can almost get to the point where you're like, do we need to go through this again? But the hope drove them on. And so they kept going through the process. And finally they were blessed with Joshua. And now they also have Jonas. I also use this picture because isn't there just a lot of joy in this little guy's face? Heard on the radio station this week a story. This couple found out that they were pregnant. And of course they were filled with joy. And as it became closer and closer for time for delivery, they were doing all their tests like they do. And they discovered that there's going to be birth defects. And of course, as it is in our society, the doctors ask, "Do you want to terminate this pregnancy?" And they said, no, we don't. When their baby boy was born, it was more severe than anyone ever imagined. Completely blind, completely disfigured. And they said the worst part of it was people's reactions as they're taking this child out in public. One lady actually came up to the mother and said, "You are cruel for bringing this child into the world." But their blind baby, every time he heard a voice, his face would light up with joy. Every time he heard somebody's voice. And she finally realized, even though her hopes and dreams have got to shift and change, that she could still have hopes and dreams and joy. Sometimes you got to look for the blessings, but they're there. Chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The blessing of birth. Now, Mary could have looked at this whole situation differently, couldn't she? You mean I'm going to have to give birth in a barn? Now think about it. That's not the the mother's first choice, right? I'm going to lay my newborn baby son in a manger. But I think this was a blessing. And I know it seems odd because, again, there's a lot of pain involved, and I'm not speaking from experience. A little bit of experience. I was there. When Cindy was in labor with Corey, it was a hard labor. It wasn't long necessarily, but she pushed so hard that she broke the blood vessels in her face. And so the labors came pretty quick and pretty hard. And we'd done the Lamaze classes, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to be the coach. So I'm like getting in her face going, breathe. Problem was, I drink a lot of coffee. So I'm going, breathe, breathe. And she looks at me and she says, you stink, get out of here. Okay, I can take care of this, I'm still good. So I go into the bathroom, I brush my teeth really good, and I come back and I'm like, breathe. And she says, now you smell like toothpaste. See, it's all about how you look at it, though. But you remember? They take that baby. They wipe him off a little bit. Not completely. And they laid him on her chest. And in that moment, she wasn't thinking anything about the pain. Her baby boy was healthy. Oh, what a blessing. Amen. Caleb was an easy delivery, although he did have a cord around his neck, a umbilical cord. But again, they laid him on her chest, and what a blessing. Karis was difficult. Cindy stalled out at 4 centimeters. They came this close to doing the C-section. They told us they're gonna put a little wire and screw it into the top of her head. Cindy went, you're gonna do what to my baby? It's the only way. We've got to monitor her heart. We've got to make sure she's not in distress. When she came out, she was blue. So they couldn't lay her on her chest right away. They had to clean her up. They had to put her in an incubator. And Cindy's there going, boy or girl? Is she okay? But she didn't say she, but it's a girl. She's healthy. And it's ironic, isn't it, that, again, when you get mothers together, they might be telling horror stories, but they always talk about birth, don't they? It just seems to always come up. Because it is a blessing. New life coming into the world. It's a blessing. Verses 8 through 19. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is the Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Number four is the blessing of praise. Can you imagine? These shepherds come and they say, "Let me tell you what God just told me about your son." We actually enjoyed going to parent-teacher conferences. Because every time we heard teachers telling us, "We enjoy having your kids in our class." And see, what that does to a mother's heart, to know that other people see. You know, they know it. They already see it, right? And you remember when you gave birth and they're in the hospital and then people would show up. And you remember what they said. When you show up and visit, you never say, "Oh my goodness, that's an ugly baby." It might be true, but don't ever say that. What you say is, "Oh, look at him. You guys did a good job." Like we really did anything. Well, I know I didn't do anything. She did a lot of work. But that mother, that when you hear other people praising your child, it's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing. Verse 43 through 51. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. And they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Number five is the blessing of responsibility. I love this story. There's just a lot of humor here. They go in the caravan. They think Jesus is with the relatives. Can you imagine the scene? Because sometimes we read this a little bit too blandly. Can you imagine Mary when she discovers that Jesus, he's just 12 years old, he's not with the caravan? "All right, Joseph, let's go right now. Joseph, come on! Get busy, let's go!" And when he gets there, when she gets there, and sometimes again we read this like, "Why, Jesus, you've caused us a lot of bit of trouble here." Oh. Those of you who are mothers know exactly what tone of voice she was using. "What do you think you're doing?" Because her heart, I mean, my goodness, everything that could have gone wrong has gone through her head. "Don't you understand what you've done to us?" I get this picture of Corey when he went with me to Honduras. We knew that we were going to go snorkeling. I was given strict instructions. Don't come home without your son. Now, I'm not an idiot. But I knew that one. I knew that, yeah. So as we're snorkeling, and You know, he was having a little bit of trouble with his legs cramping up and stuff, and they kept having to stop and stuff. But I kept looking over my left shoulder because I knew I had a responsibility here. I can't just swim off and leave this kid. Since I kept looking, and finally he got to the point where he could keep going, and I kept looking over my left shoulder to make sure he's there, we actually made this big circle and headed back towards the beach. But it was worth it, because I made sure he was with me. Sometimes parents look at responsibilities as a burden. And I understand that. It can be a very threatening thing. But can you imagine? Mary is responsible for raising God. Think that one through for a minute. He goes home with them and continues in subjection to them. I know that tells us a lot about Jesus and his heart. But it also tells us a lot about the heart of Mary. See, the reason why they came back and the reason why they searched frantically for him is because they had been blessed with a responsibility. And mothers have this responsibility. And it is a blessing. It'll tear your heart out sometimes, but it is a blessing. Let's look at Mark chapter 3. And 20 through 35. And we're gonna look at the first couple of verses, and then we're going to jump down to 31. And he came home, and the crowd gathered again to such an extent that they could not even eat a meal. When his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying, he has lost his senses. Verse 31. Then his mother and his brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, behold, your mother and your brother are outside looking for you. Answering them, he said, who are my mother and my brothers? Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Number 6 is the blessing of changed relationships. I think Mary showed up thinking that her relationship should be the way it had always been. I think she showed up. She thought Jesus had gone a little nuts. Okay? I mean, that's in the text. That's not just me. She thought Jesus was crazy. Because he was heading down this path that's going to get him in trouble, and he's not changing. And so she's going to show up, and she's going to be the mama. And when she sends word into this crowded house, she fully expected Jesus to drop everything and come out because she's the mom. And Jesus makes it very clear, our relationship has changed. This is Corey when he was a baby. His relationship with his mom has changed. If you notice, he's not sitting on her lap anymore. It would be painful and a little weird. Right?
Right.
Okay. Relationships change, and that's the way God intended it. And that can be a blessing. Yes, difficult. Yes, sometimes hard to figure out what it should be now. Oh, but a blessing. See, my relationship with my parents is not the same. It hasn't been the same ever since I went off to... I mean, even as I was growing up, it changed in stages, doesn't it? And it's been the same with our kids. When they go off to college, they're pretty much on their own. If they call and they want advice, we'll give it to them. Advice is cheap. Give it out, yeah. But we can't tell them what to do. We've never tried. Our relationship has changed, and that can be and should be a blessing. Right? You see, when a mother navigates these changes, the relationship changes, and it's difficult, and sometimes you don't know what's going to happen, but I believe that it can be a very good, strong thing, and it can be a blessing. John 19. Verse 25b through 27. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sisters, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. I think the seventh blessing in the life of Mary, and I believe that can be ours or yours as mothers, is the blessing of being provided for. We last Saturday, not yesterday, but a week ago, Saturday, they played The Passion on Christian TV. And we watched that again, and they include this scene. And I was glad that they do. But he horribly beat up. I mean, right? I mean, they were very, very realistic about that. There were some other things in the movie that were, like, really weird. I don't know where they came from. But body tore up, hanging on the cross. Some have suggested that the words that he uses was a legal formula. I think that's right. When he says, "Woman, behold your son," and he says to the disciple, "Behold your mother," it is a legal formula shifting responsibility. Jesus is the oldest son. He is responsible for the care of his mother. He cannot do that physically anymore, and he knows it. But even in his pain, he's going to take care of his mother. Now, do you think that was a blessing to Mary? I mean, I know it was hard. Oh, I know it was painful to see her son up there. Again, I think the movie did that very well. But to also know that even in the midst of that extreme torture, he was thinking of providing for his mom. So I know that some people say, "I don't want to be a burden on my children." I understand that. Nobody wants to be a burden to anybody, right? I mean, that's part of the American dream. But if I need help, praise God that I have children and they better help me. It's godly. Amen. Jesus said that's how you honor your parents. You provide for them. When my parents had their accident almost 2 years ago, and we as soon as we found out how bad it was, we went to Billings and we stayed there for 2.5 weeks. Did a lot of running around, did a lot of providing for. And I remember my mom especially saying, "Thank you. Thank you for taking care of us." You know, to me it didn't seem like I was doing much. She's my mom. What else am I going to do? That's how you honor your parents. It's a blessing. If you haven't called your mom, honor her today. If she's still living. And by the way, you can honor your mom even if she's not living. Honor her memory. Honor her. It is a blessing to provide for. It is a blessing to the mother to be provided for, to know that her children are going to take care of. An interesting thing has happened. You see, Cindy and I, there's been a shift. We used to be, you know, the sole, you know, not the sole, the main spiritual provider for our children. But I've noticed something along the way. There are times when they are providing for us spiritually. Oh, what a blessing. I have some special, I don't, maybe they'd left. They're in Bible hour. I didn't think that one through. I asked some a couple of people to help me, and they're in Bible hour. Okay. Bible hour should be done.
Yeah, so you go get them.
What I would like is for all of our mothers to stand up, and I would like to extend that. If you have ever filled the mother role in somebody's life, it doesn't matter to me if you've been a biological mother. I think this is important because my little sister, would love to be a mother, but God has not blessed her with that physically. I think He has blessed her with that, but she's not able to see it. So this day, she doesn't go to church because Mother Day just tears her up. I pray that someday that she'll be able to see that she is a mother to her nephews.
Amen.
And nieces.
Amen.
That there are kids that God has brought into her life that she has been a mother for when they desperately needed a mother. So I want to extend this, not just to biological mothers. If you have ever filled a mother role, please stand. And the first thing I would like to do is say thank you. And Corey, if you would hand those out to all the ladies who are standing. Oh, here's TK. TK? Okay, yep, there you go. Thank and help. If you guys would hand that out to all the ladies who are standing, and you can do with this whatever you wish. My prayer is that you can fully realize the blessings that we talked about today. I pray that those of you who are not mothers, you understand that God has placed women in your life to be a blessing to you. We're going to offer an invitation. We're going to have a closing prayer. And I encourage you to give some mothers a hug and tell them thank you. As we are on our way out. Okay? If there's anyone here that needs prayers, we offer an invitation. We love to go to our Father for all kinds of reasons. But if you need prayers, we would love to go to our Father's throne and make our wishes known for you and your life. And what you desire. If you want to know more about our God, who has created all mothers, we'd love to talk to you about God as well. Whatever you need, please come.